One of the advantages of being exposed to different cultures is that the experience broadens our perspective. We grow up with certain expectations and norms, and we think that that's the way it should be. And then when we encounter the other people who think differently, we realize, oh, maybe it's not what I thought. What we do when we enter into the liturgical life is we allow ourselves to be exposed to biblical culture, a biblical worldview. In fact, this is happening all the time in the church. Being a member of the church means we're not simply locked in our own way of thinking, or even the way of our family or our culture. We're exposed to the broader picture. Part of the reason why this comes to mind is because yesterday was Laetare Sunday, as you know, and the liturgical color is pink, which in my culture, or maybe in my background, is not a very appealing color. It has a connotation of immaturity or silliness or girlishness or effeminacy or something like that. So, and no one taught me that. It just came from my background. Well, we were watching the beautiful papal mass yesterday. Maybe you watched that mass for the 500th anniversary of Christianity. St. Peter's Basilica, Grand Basilica, and everybody's all beautifully dressed, and it's just a beautiful place, beautiful mass. And there's the Pope wearing a pink vest, which to me looks so funny. I'm the one who has to make the adjustment. Maybe no one else thinks it looks funny. The church says that color represents joy, represents a lightening of the penitential spirit of Lent. Laetare Sunday, rejoice. So we realize, I realize, oh, I'm the one who's has it wrong. I have to adjust. Well, that's just a silly example, perhaps, but this is happening to us every time we turn to the Word of God and we encounter a different way of seeing how God works in the world, how God is present in history. Think of yesterday's first reading, the account of how the people of Israel were reduced. The city was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, they were driven into exile. Terrible experience. And then, according to yesterday's first reading, well, that was a result of their own failure to follow God. And then God, in a surprising way, raises up Cyrus, pagan emperor, to restore the Jews to Jerusalem. And we're supposed to learn from that. God is at work in history. God is at work, whether we feel like we're being reduced or raised up, God is at work. Well, the biblical worldview, the biblical way of understanding things, which is different than how we are naturally disposed a lot of times, is that, let me just give another simple example. The biblical idea is that the day begins at sunset. That's when the day begins. You know that. That's how a liturgical day begins. On Saturday evening is the beginning of Sunday, at sunset. Which is not how we think. We think the day begins at sunrise, and new day begins, and then you have the day, and then when the sun sets, that's the end of the day. Then you have night. Then you have day and night, and day and night. And we know it's sunrise and sunrise and sunset and sunrise and sunset. But we think of the day as beginning at the beginning of the day, when the sun rises. Or we might think at midnight, or that 1 second after midnight starts a new day. But the Jews, and therefore the biblical world, and therefore the church's view, is that the day begins at sunset. Now, why is that significant? Because darkness is the beginning. That's the start of the cycle, not the end. And when we're passing through night, that means we're just beginning the process of coming into the light. It's a completely different way of thinking. And it's important that we get that, because when we are experiencing darkness or suffering, We tend to think, oh, this is the end. This is the end of my happiness now. No. The biblical worldview, the teaching of the Bible is, no, that's the beginning of a new day for you. This terrible experience is not the end. It's a beginning of a new day. So this reversal from darkness to light, or from suffering to joy, is everywhere in the Bible. And it struck me that it's in today's readings as well. The first reading is from near the end of the book of the prophet Isaiah, a prophecy of new heavens and a new earth. Now, this prophecy is given to people who are experiencing deprivation, destruction. The heavens and the earth are collapsing all around them, and along comes Isaiah and says, I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth. In other words, you're experiencing sunset, I'm prophesying to you sunrise. Things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness. It's easy to say that when you're happy and you're rejoicing. Very hard to say that when you're sorrowing, weeping. And then it's a very joyful reading, an extension of yesterday's joy, Laetare Sunday. So no more weeping, no more crying, no one will die before he turns 100 years old. So it's a reversal from suffering to joy. The psalm has the same thing. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. This is the prayer of someone who was in the depths, who was in the pit, and he was raised up. He was rescued. I will praise the Lord. Why? Well, his anger lasts a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. A nighttime was a moment, daylight forever. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn rejoicing. See, here it is. Nightfall is just the beginning. Dawn is the conclusion, daylight is the end point. You changed my mourning into dancing. Oh Lord my God, forever will I give you thanks. So the transition from mourning into dancing is the whole story. Lent to Easter, suffering to joy. That's the way it is. So that's the cycle. That's the process that we are in. Now we're in the nighttime, but we know that this nighttime leads to daylight. That's why the liturgy traditionally, I'm sure you know this argument about which direction the priest is supposed to face in the Mass. Well, the traditional direction of the Mass is toward the east, ad orientem. Why? Because we're looking to the sunrise. We're looking to the new hope. We're looking to the new day. That's where the joy will come. In fact, the second coming is symbolized by turning toward the east. God will come again. Jesus Christ will come again in glory. So it's a hopeful direction to look to the east. In today's gospel, this royal official of Capernaum has a son who is on his deathbed. That's the darkness. That's the nighttime. Jesus comes into Galilee and the royal official says, ah, there's hope. I'll go to him and ask him to heal my son. Sir, come down before my child dies. Come and heal my son. Bring light into this darkness. He knows Jesus can do it, and we know Jesus can do it. Jesus, if you look at the Gospels, he heals dozens and dozens of people. He can easily heal people. He tells the man, you may go, your son will live. I always love this because it's an example of what we usually experience in the journey of faith. We are given a word, but we cannot see the effect right away. We're given a promise, but we don't see it fulfilled right away. That's the journey of faith. The man is told, your son will live. And the man naturally would say, well, sure, if you come and lay your hands on him, sure, if you come and heal him. And Jesus doesn't do that. He says, go ahead, go back home. Walk in faith. Walk through the night knowing that the sun will rise. Walk through the morning knowing that you will be dancing. It's an instruction not only for the man, but for all of us who experience darkness, suffering. That is the first stage. But the end stage is light, or healing, or life, or joy, or dancing, or whatever symbol you want to use for the victory of God over evil. Well, this is the journey we're on. We're in Lent now. We had a little glimpse of joy yesterday, Laetare Sunday, but we're back in the violet color and the penitential season. But we journey in faith. We journey with confidence in the word that says your son will live, or that the sun will rise, or that you will rise again, or that there will be new heavens and new earth. With confidence in that, even if we don't see it at all, no hint of dawn yet, doesn't matter. We know it's true because God says it's true. And this is the process. So we continue our journey with confidence that the Lord is raising us up, that the Lord is rescuing us and giving us life.